Hey, it's Tuesday, January 22nd, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Deb.
What the hell is happening in Edmonton? I mean, as we're recording this, like, blah! People are going on waivers. Goalies are being signed. It's I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Pandemonium. Three words. Pandemonium.
Oh, all right. So this is an interesting topic because I just don't want to talk about like our teams specifically, even though that's really super interesting. I kind of want to frame this conversation around the trade deadline and what teams are doing now, because the trade deadline, as if you haven't listened to any of our past podcasts, the trade deadline, I believe it's February 25th this year at 3 o'clock, is when teams can no longer trade players. Also known as 301, when all the players who didn't get traded go out and have a drink.
Yeah.
And know that they're safe for a few more months.
Yep. Don't have to move.
Don't have to move. So teams that are, you know, think they got a shot, think they can make a run for it, get a little busy this time of year. So and what they're trying to do is they're trying to bolster their roster to get players or get pieces in, because they're not people, they're pieces, to get pieces in to hopefully give them what they need to make that push. Do you think that's what's happening in Edmonton? So give us from your perspective, Edmonton, media, the fans, what's going on up there?
I do think that, I mean, despite the fact that we've had some really, really rough games in a row here, we are still, I think, only 3 points out of a wild card spot, because the West is just bananas in terms of how tight and locked up everything is. So Edmonton still has a semi-realistic chance of actually making it into the playoffs. And I think that they are definitely doing that, sort of like the scramble to plug the gaps and fill the holes. And it's an interesting situation because, as we talked about, I think in our last episode, how our we have a new coach, but we still have the same GM. And that GM, Peter Chiarelli, doesn't have the faith of the fan base right now. I think most people are kind of like checking their watches and being like, he's still here?
The Peter Chiarelli the death watch, you know, waiting for the white smoke to come out of Roger's place to let us know there's a new GM.
And I mean, the conventional fan wisdom previously was that he would probably keep his job until the playoffs. And if the Oilers make the playoffs, he'd probably keep his job for another year. And maybe that's still the case, but I think the Oilers taking a bit of a downturn on this homestand that they've had has been made people, fans, kind of want to move up that timetable. So the fact that he is still the one, as far as we know, is still the one who is making these moves and calling these shots has a lot of people kind of unhappy, and they really just want to take the keys away from Peter Chiarelli so that he doesn't, you know, screw anything else up. And I'm not saying that I necessarily feel that way, but the last few moves he has made have not instilled me with a great deal of confidence. So I'm starting to jump on that bandwagon a little bit. Because when he traded Ryan Strome from us for Ryan Spooner, it was a 1-to-1 Ryan trade for no particularly good reason. I mean, maybe it was just like a change of scenery trade. Like, maybe these guys need a change of scenery to start doing better. Well, guess what? Ryan Strome has been doing not so bad, I guess, where he is. Ryan Spooner hasn't really produced for the Oilers. So, yeah, as of today, he got put on waivers, which is a thing that we talked about way back in, can I find the episode when we talked about waivers? Yes, episode 15, if you're interested. Dive back. And so he's on waivers, and also Ty Ratty, which makes me so sad.
Yeah, he was like the second coming as a winger for McDavid there preseason.
He was. The end of last season and during the preseason, they had just really great chemistry. And I will be the first to admit that chemistry didn't necessarily carry over into the actual season as much as we had hoped. And then I think he got injured, so he was out for a while. So I still don't feel like he got the chance that he really deserved for as good as he had been. Mm-hmm. Also, our new coach has some history with Ty Ratty. Ty Ratty played for Hitchcock previously with another team and didn't get to play a whole lot there. So I don't know. I'm not saying that's a personality thing. I'm saying that maybe he wasn't as good of a player back then. And that is perhaps still in Ken Hitchcock's the back of his mind. So I don't know. Or maybe he's just not that good. Or maybe there's off-ice issues that we don't know about. There are many, many, many possibilities. And just seeing all of these moves being made is making me very nervous. And yeah, as you mentioned, we also signed Mikko Koskinen, who was our backup goalie, basically until this year. Cam Talbot, who was our number one starter, whom I love. I love him. But he just has not been consistent. He wasn't super consistent last year. He was even less consistent, I believe, earlier this season. And yeah, it looks like maybe he's on his way out, because they extended Koskinen for 3 years, I think, at like $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, like, and he's been good. He hasn't been great, but he's been good.
They basically gave him $2 million more than he's making this year. I mean, they almost doubled his salary.
There's a chunk of the fan base that's not happy.
So do you think they're going to be shopping Cam Talbot around?
I would not be surprised. Mm. And that would make me very sad, because I adore him. But being a goalie in the NHL, it's a hard, hard job.
Yeah, Steve Mason. I mean, he's still homeless. I think part of the, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been living with Peter Chiarelli and I have not, is he has a reputation, at least among the fans, of making trades that go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Again, the first line, and everybody talks about Doctor Who, the first line in an actor's biography is, you know, what their role in Doctor Who was in the UK. But in Peter Chiarelli, like, the first line of his biography is going to be, you know, traded Taylor Sagan for basically a handful of nothing, you know, a handful of magic pixie dust. Like, none of the players that he traded Tyler Sagan for are still with the Bruins or even playing anymore. Meanwhile, Tyler Sagan is considered, you know, an elite player. So I think that may color some fans in Edmonton's, that they're looking at his past history and saying, hey, wait a second, are we going back down that road again? I don't know. Because the Ryan Spooner, I mean, that was Jordan Eberle for Strome, for Spooner, who is now, so that's like washed out.
Yep, basically. And I mean, there are also a lot of people who point at the one-to-one trade Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. And I'm still actually just fine with that trade. I mean, Adam Larson is not like the superstar that, you know, I wish he was. But he, well, with the exception of the last game, his last game was not so good. But overall, he's been a solid top pair defenseman. And I think he was very much what the team needed. And yeah, maybe we should have gotten more for Taylor Hall, but that wasn't going to happen at that point. And yeah, so I'm still okay with that trade, but it's kind of like the other ones after that, some of his smaller moves, like just for, you know, guys that you maybe not heard of, like those kind of things worked out okay. Mm-hmm. But some of the bigger moves have not been great.
Well, we will be keeping a weather eye on Edmonton. So, and meanwhile, back here in Philadelphia, we thought we were going to be getting some big moves and haven't. But, you know, we still have a little over a month. So it wouldn't surprise me, you know, sort of the received fan wisdom right now is Wayne Simmonds is probably being shopped around a little bit, because his contract is up at the end of the year. And I don't think, I think something has to be shaken loose in Philadelphia, because while they are not, as we are speaking today, at the bottom of the league as they were a few weeks ago, they managed to claw themselves up a few spots thanks to a mini winning streak. There's some problems there. You know, they just need to. I don't know what they're going to do, for God's sake. I really don't. I mean, we've got Carter Hart now, and I just like my. everybody was really concerned because goalies are different animals. You know,
they sure are.
You just can't expect the same from a 20-year goalie as you can from a 20-year-old forward or a 20-year-old defenseman. Mm-hmm. And to his credit, he has done quite well for himself. We haven't broken him yet, but you know, I swear to God, give it time. And, you know, if Talbot's on the market, we're probably going to make a run for him. Let's face it, because we love broken goalies in Philadelphia. It's just what we do. We collect them like Pokemons, charms and a bracelet. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised. I thought there would be more movement happening, but I guess it really doesn't make sense for us to make any drastic moves now because chances of us making the wild card are slim to none. It's not mm-hmm. unheard of because Philadelphia has been down and out before and they managed to go on a 10-game winning streak at the end of the season and managed to claw their way back up. But I would doubt it. But the thing is, and here's something I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, what is the point of making a lot of big moves now just to get into the wild card slot when you know you're probably not going to make it past the first or second round? But there's the economics of hockey that have nothing to do with winning the cup, such as filling mm-hmm. the seats and making your fan base happy and making it look like you're a proactive team. And at least you're giving your team all of the assets it needs. And mm-hmm. hopefully next year you'll make that next step.
Also, like, sometimes the playoffs are weird. We've talked before about how the playoff hockey is just feels like a completely different beast from the other 82 games of the season. And sometimes things happen. Like, there are some players who just bust out in the playoffs and are just amazing playoff players and aren't necessarily that great through the rest of the season. And if you've got a handful of those guys on your team, you might not even know it until you actually hit the playoffs. And so if you can just get there, it's such a different beast that you might go farther than you think. But yeah, I do think that the economics of the team is a big thing. Like, you know, all of those, every single person who works at your hockey rink, like that's economic income. That's important for all of those people. So like you're supporting families, you're supporting, you know, not just the hockey player, but all of the infrastructure that goes around a hockey team. So I fully support making those moves to try to just like eke your way into the playoffs because it's a boon, not just for your team, but for the city that you live in.
Right. Yeah. And it does a lot. So, I mean, people may look at that and say, they don't have a shot. So why are they selling everything or why are they buying everything? Like, what's the point of it? But hockey's, when it comes down to it, it's a business.
Yep.
And people mm-hmm. need to make some cash. But, it's been really interesting, like watching that, like every time my phone pings with an NHL update, I'm like, what did Edmonton do today? Because we haven't talked about the most mystifying thing, which is now old news, but Brandon Manning.
Yeah, that was sort of the moment where I really completely like jumped off the I'll give Peter Chiarelli some more time train. Because yeah, Brandon Manning is the former Philadelphia Flyer who broke Connor McDavid's collarbone and then later took credit for it in a, you know, not particularly sportsmanlike way, and then wasn't even on the Flyers anymore. He got traded away from there
to Chicago, where he was scratched a lot.
Yeah, and then he came here to Edmonton and was scratched for his first two games here. Like, what was the? And it was for Drake Caggiula, who was, he'd been having some struggles. So I'm not surprised that he got traded away, but he's a really good friend of Connor McDavid's. So just the optics of that, of trading away one of Connor McDavid's best friends on the team for the guy who, you know, had him out for 3 months of a season.
Made just, sure he didn't win the Calder that year. Denied him the Calder.
It was really just, it seemed kind of mystifying. And then the news came out that Chiarelli had been, you know, sort of targeting Brandon Manning like up to a year previously, which just seems like, you know, a dog with a bone. Was he just, he still had this idea that Brandon Manning was a good thing for the team?
I don't know.
Change, dude.
I know. It seems punitive, doesn't it? It's like, you can't win, so we're going to bring some grit. How do you like that? I don't know.
He did get a goal. He hit one of the few goals in the game that I saw last night. So, Actually, a few. We had a few, but yeah, he scored, and the crowd was happy. I was at the game. So I guess he's been welcomed into the fold simply because he scored a goal when nobody else seemed to be doing anything.
Oh, Edmonton, you will forgive and forget. Maybe not forget, but you will forgive.
Yeah, for a goal, we will.
Yeah, this is such a deeply weird time mm-hmm. in the hockey season. So we're heading into the All-Star Game coming up this weekend, isn't it? Yes, this weekend.
It is.
So lots of teams are in their bye week, and we talked about the bye weeks, which is basically written into the CBA agreement where teams will get a week off at some point during the season. We have mm-hmm. mixed feelings about this, whether it kills momentum or gives teams a much-needed break. I think you could go, depending on what your team does after the bye week, is where mm-hmm. your opinion falls on that line.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So expect, if you follow hockey teams or players on Instagram, expect lots of pictures of beaches because they all tend to go someplace warm. But it's...
Unless they're at the All-Star Game.
Unless they're at the All-Star Game. Oh, do you remember the year that... oh my gosh. Jaromir Jagr was like begging fans not to vote for him. Like uh-huh. when it was the
He's
fan
like,
vote.
I'm tired.
It's like, I'm old. Let somebody else go. So yeah, I think some players and some players actually, Alexander Ovechkin this year has opted out mm-hmm. and is taking a game penalty. He's like, I need a break. I'm just tired, you know?
Yep.
And I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. So
I do. I also think it's fair of the league to, you know, exact some sort of penalty on a player who decides not to go because, you know, this is the All-Star Game is a big deal for the NHL in terms of, you know, promotion and that sort of thing. Yep. I'm more excited about the skills competition myself.
I love this. I could care less about the game. The game's dumb. Yep. But I love the skills competition. I'm a little sad that they're trying to take some of the fun out of it, although it was really fun last year to watch Hillary Knight hit all the...
Hit
all the accuracy shots as the guys just kind of looked at her like you were a goddess because she is. Thank you very much. I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I know last year there was a little problematic because they had, who was the entertainment? Kid Rock.
Yep.
So this year they seem.
Is it Weezer this year?
I don't even know who it is. It isn't anybody that's got anyone's hair on the back of their neck standing up. So I'm taking that as a win. Like I haven't seen massive outrage because they picked somebody super problematic. So I don't even care who it is. It could be like the local Girl Scout troop. It doesn't matter. Is anybody just bring Snoop Dogg in every year? I mean, that's all that hockey fans like anyway, right?
I'm over Snoop Dogg.
I don't know. I thought it was really funny when he was calling the LA Kings game. Did you see that clip?
I heard about it, and that was enough for me. I didn't want to watch it.
It was just entertaining. You know, make hockey fun again. Which, like I said, this is a deeply weird time in the season for me because, you know, what was up in the spring or was up in the fall is down in the spring, and teams that were on a fast track seem to be faltering. Teams that you had counted out, St. Louis, I'm looking at you, are all of a sudden making a little mini comeback. It's so unpredictable. Like, how can anybody bet on this sport? You know, I see sports betting all the time now when I'm turning on the games. The commercials will break in and do a sideline, sort of side by side. While the game is airing, you'll get this interruption with, you know, hey, you can do your sports betting here in the States. At least they do that. And mm-hmm. like, how? Like, you don't know what's going to happen. This is the most weird sport in the history of sports.
Yep.
I don't know. Is there any teams that, like, are surprising you, like, where they are, like, I'm looking at the standings, and first of all, I never thought we would be down as far as we were. I never thought Chicago would be down as far as they were. They just seem to be able to rise like a ghost every year.
I'm surprised about the Islanders, and I mean, so we talk a lot about how living in Canada, I get just inundated with news about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I was just like smashed over the head with news about Jonathan Tavares being taken away, cruelly pulled from his dear family, hockey family in New York with the New York Islanders, and being, you know, transplanted to his childhood home and his childhood team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, to which like the media told me that basically this spelled the end of the Islanders. Mm-hmm. They were just done. And Tavares was going to be the end all be all. And like the media actually stopped talking about Austin Matthews for a while because suddenly they had somebody else to talk about. It was quite a thing. And the fact that the Islanders are doing so well right now mm-hmm. is like it's got the Schadenfreude like genes in me just sort of like popping out being like,
yeah,
yeah,
it is. I mean, you look, they're at the top of the Metro like right now, which is
yep. And they may not stay there.
No, because it could change next week. It's a very volatile situation right now. But that has been a really, really good storyline. And I have my fondness for Toronto has grown this past year. I know it feels like a betrayal to you, but there's no rhyme nor reason for a hockey heart. Okay, let's just go with that.
That's fair.
Okay. So I have been enjoying watching them play. They are on a skid right now, which means doom and gloom in hockey media, I'm sure, in Canada. That has been such a good storyline. And I think we've said this before. I mean, don't discount, you know, bitterness and rage as a motivator
for any team.
Look at Las Vegas. I mean, you had a lot of really bitter, unhappy players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a sense of that in Long Island. Like, you know, you counted us out and we'll show you. And I also just think they're clicking. I think Barry Trotz is making a big difference. I mean, he's a good coach.
Yeah.
You know, he got Washington to the Super Bowl. Tell I watched football yesterday. Got him to the Stanley Cup. So I don't think you can discount that. I don't think, you know, the changes mm-hmm. behind the bench certainly have helped that as well.
Yep, that's probably the one that I am the most surprised at.
Well, one thing is for sure, if the Islanders stay where they are and Toronto stays where they are, to see those two teams in the playoffs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable.
Delicious. It would be delicious. What does Jeff Merrick always say? Team chaos. I'm here for team chaos. That would be chaotic. Yep. I like that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
All right.
Very fun.
Well, there's been some weird and cute things happening around the league besides the All-Star game, which is neither as weird or as cute as it used to be because they want to take all the fun out of hockey and not make people do crazy things anymore. You know, somebody was talking, we were just sitting around talking with a bunch of non-hockey fans, okay, and having a glass of wine, trying to talk to people about hockey who are polite but really don't care. And I'm thinking, like, what would be the craziest thing that you could imagine on a hockey game? And somebody says, why don't they change the color of the ice and use different color pucks? And I'm like, that's interesting.
I feel like that is a thing that has been bandied about from time to time.
Is it really?
Yes. Yeah, we should get Steven on to talk about old hockey. I know the color of the crease has changed. So yeah. The area around the net, sometimes if you watch old hockey, like it's not blue, it's yellow. It looks like somebody peed all over the ice. It's very weird.
That does sound mm-hmm. weird. All right, imagine this, like black ice, glow-in-the-dark pucks.
I think black would be difficult to achieve because, I mean, really, it's just whatever color they have the floor painted underneath the ice. So if it's black, it's probably just going to end up looking dirty gray.
Yeah, maybe.
It's cool. Like I like the idea of the visual, but
it'd be like, you know, playing pond hockey because that ice is always really dark.
It can be.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So we'll see what they have up their sleeve. But the weird and cute things are happening. The Dallas Stars, which was just adorable, did a make-a-wish. Did you see any of this floating mm-hmm. around the internets? They did a make-a-wish for a child who was a big hockey fan. And what made this like really wonderful, it wasn't a traditional, oh, you get to be a player for a day or you know, you can come meet the team. It was his wish was he really, really, really wanted to have his hockey team play the Dallas Stars. So what they did was the Dallas Stars did a full court press for this. They had uniforms made for the teams and the child had a heart condition. And so his team was called the EKGs. And which was really cute. And they did these really great, fantastic sort of really professional jerseys. Then they had, which was really funny, they had this team come to the arena on a bus where they all got out in their little suits. It's all these little kids in suits with their hockey gear. They had the Dallas Stars, or the Dallas Stars cheerleaders, or ice girls, or whatever you want to call them. And they had the parents there. They decorated the locker room for them. It was really, really, really special. And they actually had a game. It was in their practice facility. So they had the game, and where his team, it was kind of a mix up of the teams and playing against the Stars. And the child whose wish it was, his name is Anderson McDuffie. And he just had the best time. And at one point he gets into like this fight with John Klingberg. So like he went for the full hockey experience. So he goes for John Klingberg and like kind of tugs him to the ice, you know, and kind of jumps on him. And it's just really, really funny because Klingberg's like, yeah, it's my first official fight. And, you know, just really took me down. And I tried to stand up for myself. I mean, then all the kids went back to the locker room and they did press with it, and they were interviewed, and it was really amazing. And I thought, you know, this was for the Stars, have been having a little bit of a rocky time right now, because we didn't talk about the whole their president calling out, you know, Jamie Benn,
two star players,
and basically saying they're terrible people and mm-hmm. you know, questioning their work ethic. So it kind of was a really neat thing to see, where they they had this moment and this time where they could connect with fans and connect with kids and talk about putting things into perspective. Because, you know, as they all said, you're getting paid a lot of money to play a game, and this does kind of put it in perspective. So it was very adorable. And I'll throw a couple links up in the show notes with videos and things of it, because the Klingberg video is just, it's hilarious. And his interview afterwards is really funny. And he, all the guys just really got into the moment. In fact, when, and of course, Anderson McDuffie scored the game-winning mm-hmm. goal, and he, and Roman Polak picked him up and did a victory lap with him around the rink as he was like kind of flapping his arms, like, who's not? Yeah, it was good. So that was kind of a fun thing, and I thought, oh man, the Dallas Stars really need that, because I'm not even going to get into that whole controversy, but you know, the worst thing you can do in hockey, I think, from what my observations of this game are, is question somebody's character. Like, character mm-hmm. is huge. Like, you keep talking, he's a real character guy. Like, he's got the right character. He's got good character. So when you call that into question, like, unless it's anything to do with women. So, like, if you're, you know, misogynistic or brought up in charges of abuse, like, they can kind of overlook that a lot. That kind of character doesn't matter. But, like, your work ethic character, like, kiss of death. So. Yep. Good for the Stars for doing this, because I think the whole team kind of needed it. And that was the cute, and here's the weird. Okay. So Sports Illustrated did an interview with Jack Eichel and talked about his game day routine. Holy crap. Did you see that?
I heard about that it's very, very detailed and specific.
It is incredibly detailed, incredibly specific. I don't know how this man has time to play hockey. By the time he gets all of his game day rituals done, I mean, he probably takes like 7 showers a day, like on game days. He has very specific things he needs to eat. He has to have an apple. And he says, this is like the worst thing, like going to rinks that have really bad apples, because, yeah, it's like, and he's got a timetable. Like, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. So, let's see. Wake up, go to the rink, have egg whites, oatmeal, strawberries, have an apple juice, have a Gatorade with water. Then I have a Gatorade. Tape my six, get on the ice, pregame skate, get off. Let's see. I get a flush from a massage guy. After that, I get a shower. I get in the cold tub for 4 minutes. I get out. I go home. Then he used to live with Sam Reinhart. So they pick up their meal at a restaurant that they like. They eat it from 12:30 around that area. Then he has a Pellegrino with it, little bottles of water, the small ones only. He sleeps from 2 to 3:45, wakes up at 3:45, put his suit on, gets a coffee, gets to the rink, takes another shower, gets into the cold tub, get out of the cold tub, get dressed, at the training, put on his Normatec pants, come off, the pants come off at 5:05, cut down a stick, get change his skate laces, tapes his sticks, go to a meeting, get out of a meeting, like eat an apple, finish an apple, put a heat pack on, take the heat pack off, take two Advil, and it keeps going and going and going. And it's, and at this point, like the Sports Illustrated guy jumps in and says, does it have to be the same kind of apple? Because you could just like, you get the impression like this guy's shell-shocked with all the things that are going on. So, and it goes on for more paragraphs of all the things that he does. So, I mean, we've talked about hockey superstitions before, and we've talked about routines, but wow. So that was kind of a lot. I'd be really curious, and if anybody knows or any of our listeners can link us to any other weird or really super intense and detailed hockey pregame rituals, I would love to read it. Because how do you get yourself into that headspace? And like, do you, if you don't take your pants off at the right time, does it mess up your whole game? Did something happen to this poor child? Like, who hurt him that made him do all these things?
Like, honestly, if you want to beat the Buffalo Sabres, I feel like what you need to do is, like, you know, get some fellow fans together and just buy up all the good apples.
Yeah,
in
really
town.
Make him eat shitty and apples just, before every game.
Just leave him Red Delicious, and like that's it.
Yeah, like supermarket Red Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little old. Yeah, that'll be well. they're kind of struggling right now, so maybe it's not the apples. Maybe it's something else.
Or maybe it is, Deb. Maybe that's the reason.
Maybe.
It's all about apples.
It could be. Can you imagine? I wonder if, like, Connor McDavid has any weird rituals or, like...
Probably. I mean, they all probably do.
Well, I know, like, you know, Jonathan Toews is, like, a really super intense... I've read stuff about what his regime is. And I know Zdeno Chara is another one who's, like, really, like, into everything that he eats is... He's a vegetarian, but he's very, very particular about what he does and puts in his body. And I guess you have to be if you're making the big bucks
well,
as an elite athlete.
You don't have to be. I seem to remember an interview with Johnny Gaudreau talking about how he eats like that.
He eats
chicken
like
nuggets,
a toddler.
Yeah, yeah. He basically so
like he didn't know what a plum was. He didn't know what a plum was. Like it comes, that boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Thank God he's small and fast, right?
Yep. He must just have really good genes.
I guess.
Let's hope that holds out, because otherwise, you know, you're going to go downhill fast if suddenly your metabolism changes.
Yeah, really? Can you imagine? He'd be like round.
You could just roll him off the ice.
He'd be a round boy on the ice. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, I was thinking about what we could talk about in this week's What the Puck. And I was listening to, actually, it was a radio broadcast on my way home from a meeting. And they were talking about, like, the odd man rush was happening on the ice. And I thought, you know, like, I know what that is. I mean, it took me a while to figure out what a rush was. It kind of seems like it'll be obvious, but what is an odd man rush? What is an offensive rush? So I thought this is something really, really basic and really easy, but it might be kind of one of those things that you feel kind of dumb saying, I really don't get what a rush is. So I thought for this week's episode, we could talk about rushes.
It's time for What the Puck, those things that everyone knows, but we all had to learn sometime. So, Deb, what the puck is a rush?
A rush. It is such a simple thing. It is such an easy thing. And it's one of those things that gets tossed around all the time by hockey announcers. And it's so basic that nobody ever wants to, nobody ever explains it, because everybody assumes that this is one of those things that everybody does assume you know what a rush is. And if you are a sports fan, particularly a football, you may know what a rush is. But if you're not and you're new to this, I'm going to tell you. So basically, a rush is when an offensive player takes the puck up the ice with speed, thus calling it a rush. So it's basically, it just means they are hauling ass towards their goal with the puck on their stick. Right? Or towards the opponent's goal. They're trying to get the goal, and they're doing it quickly. Now, there's a couple different times of rush. So that's an offensive rush, which means you're trying to get the you're trying to get pucks in deep, right? So you're rushing with the puck on your stick. Now, you'll sometimes you'll hear like a 3-on-1 or an odd man rush, And basically, an odd man rush is when a player from a team that's entering the attacking zone, where their opponent's goalie lives, that's their attacking zone, and their number of attacking players who are on the offense outnumber the defensive players who are already in the zone. So if you have three forwards going on the rush, you got one has the stick on his puck and the other are going with him, you know, the flying V, perhaps. I don't know. It could be. And your defenseman or the other team gets caught unaware because, say, you're Connor McDavid and you can go really, really fast. There may only be one defenseman in in their zone. So that would be an odd man rush, which means you have more players trying to get the puck to the net than you do trying to stop the players from getting the puck to the net.
I have heard that term a lot, and I never kind of knew exactly what it meant, despite having it explained to me a couple of times. So maybe this time I will remember what an odd man rush is, because I hear that and I think, oh, does that just mean that there's an odd number of men rushing? Like that's those are the words that you put together. But nope, that's not what it means.
Yeah. So, but if you have three players. Okay, so that was an example. Actually, the example that I gave you is a classic three-on-one rush. So when you have three attackers going towards the goal and you only have one person from the opposite team in the zone.
That makes sense. That's just math.
That's a three-on-one. But yeah, an odd-man rush is basically more people are coming for you than you got trying to stop them. So that's it.
Okay.
That's what
pretty
a rush is. So when you hear this, it's very straightforward. But again, I had to look it up when I started watching hockey. I'm like, what are they talking about? What is this odd man thing? Because you're right. It may not twig with people.
That one's not as straightforward.
No. So since that was a really, really short what the puck, I thought that maybe we could do a little bit of say what now to round this segment out. Basically hockey things that we may have heard that you're like, what does that even mean? So Erica, do you have any say what nows that you have heard recently during hockey broadcasts that you would like to spring on me and see if I can figure them out?
I do, and I'm always very interested to see if they are ones that you have heard on your American hockey broadcasts or if they may just be things that are, you know, specific to the announcers that I hear regularly on Oilers broadcast or Hockey Night in Canada.
The caveat is nothing that Darryl Ray says in Dallas counts.
Okay, because that's fine. Because I wouldn't hear those anyway.
Okay, because honestly, they don't compute with anybody. He's wonderful, and I love listening to him. But
his creativity is off the charts.
It's off the charts, and sometimes everybody just goes, "Well, that was a really interesting razorism." So, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, have you heard or do you know what it means when someone is described as having their head on a swivel?
Having their head on a swivel. I have not
on a swivel
heard that one.
Oh, okay. So I don't know if that's a Canadian thing or what, but I hear that a lot during hockey broadcasts. You know, like Connor McDavid head on a swivel, or quite often it's a defenseman.
Okay, but so why don't you define
can you
that?
Guess
for
what it means.
My guess would just be somebody who is trying to find the puck, is looking around a lot.
Pretty much. Yep. So they will often say that, you know, if somebody is, generally they're moving and their head is, you know, like if you're moving in one direction and, you know, the puck is to your left, your head is swiveling to watch the puck. So, yeah, head on a swivel. That just means that, you know, they're being really heads up and they're keeping an eye on things. So,
okay. Gotcha.
Turning their head. Yep, just what it sounds like.
Head on a swivel. Wow, that's kind of gruesome.
A little bit. It doesn't sound really comfortable.
No.
All right, how about a little chip and chase?
Chip and chase. I do feel like I have heard that. And is that sort of like, you know, the process of getting pucks in deep?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just saw this really funny video of just players on a loop saying, you know, they have getting pucks in deep. And it's a very, very funny little video, which is like 40 seconds, because that's something that players always, always say. Okay.
Yep.
So just like little short shots to get in the zone.
Yep, and then chasing after it. So you may have heard dump and chase, which
yes,
is
dump and chase.
You're shooting the puck into the zone, and then chasing after it to try to get it. A little chip and chase is more, like you said, it's a shorter shot, maybe, you know, over the stick of a defenseman, and then mm-hmm. try to zoom around the defenseman to try to get the puck back. So you're chipping it away from yourself, and then you're chasing after the puck because it's going in the direction you want it to go to try to get it deep.
It's like golf. Instead of a line drive, it's just a little chip to get on the green.
Yep.
There you go.
Exactly.
I don't play golf either, but...
So here's one that I have heard a few times, and it honestly, it bothers me. I don't like it. But, and this is something that's, I think you'll understand what it means just by context, but I will occasionally hear an announcer say that so-and-so negotiates his way up the ice and, you know, into the corner or something like that. Negotiates.
Really?
What the hell? Yeah.
Like, negotiates. Like, yep. Does he sit down and, like, offer some snacks and coffee and say, let's have a conversation about this? Like, or...
Yeah, every time I hear it, that is what goes through my head. Like, really, negotiates? That's the verb you're going to use? But yeah. And I mean, it tends to be when you're, you know, if somebody's just skating the 200 feet with nothing in their way, that's not a term that would get used. So it's usually when they're skating around somebody, right. Trying to find their way up the ice, you know, around the opposition team.
Right. So it's not easy skate to get around there. Mm-hmm. They have to work at it a little bit, but I don't think there's any negotiation going on.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not like the players on the other team are like, well, okay, you've made a very good point, Mr. McDavid. I'm going to allow you to skate around me very fast now.
Please, please go. I concede your point. You may have this ice.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What mm-hmm. happens. All right. Yep. I have one for you because I heard this once. I thought, oh, and then I've heard it three times since then. So I wonder if, you know, like hockey broadcasters listen to other hockey broadcasters and like things go viral. So it's like,
or
oh, that's
is
a cool
it just
term.
yellow car syndrome. And just because you heard it,
it
now
could
you're noticing
be.
It everywhere.
All right. Here's it. Popping the seal.
No.
Okay, so...
Does that mean scoring the first goal?
Yes. Like, if a game goes scoreless and finally somebody scores, they'll be like, oh, I popped the seal on that one. And it's like, that's kind of... I don't know how I feel about that term.
That sounds gross to
me. It does sound a little gross. I don't like it either. But I heard... I forget what the first broadcast it was, but I've heard it at least three times since. So I'm telling you, things go viral. Little hockey memes and other broadcasters are picking up on it.
Interesting.
So, I know. That was funny. That, and I've been hearing a lot of cup of coffees. He had a cup of coffee.
Yes,
he's having a cup of coffee.
That's been around for
so why don't you define cup of coffee?
I don't really know where it came from. I asked Stephen once, and he wasn't entirely sure. But if you say somebody had a cup of coffee in the NHL, that means that they were in the NHL for a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like about the amount of time that it would take to drink a cup of coffee, I guess maybe that's where it's from.
Or it's very short term. So a lot of times they'll say that about players who are on a 9-game tryout, like at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. so before the teams decide whether they're going to keep them or send them back to their AHL or their minor league team. Minor league team, because they would have to. They don't want to trigger their entry level contract. So they'll say, you know, he's having his cup of coffee, and it's not going to stick around. Coffee's going to get cold real quick and you're going to be out of there. So, all right. Well, before we go further, because I want to close this out with a hockey tidbit, which I know that you're going to have. Mm-hmm. I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Hannah from the Balls and Sticks podcast, because which is fast becoming one of my very, very favorite hockey podcasts. If you have not listened to it, I highly recommend it. It is smart. Mm-hmm. It is fun. It is clever. And it's two women talking about hockey in very smart ways. And oh my God, Megan and the stats and the analytics. Oh, swoon. But anyway, before we started recording this, I could not find the dongle for my new MacBook Air because my new MacBook Air does not have USB ports because Apple. And Hannah, I was tweeting about it angrily, as you do in the mm-hmm. internet age. And Hannah popped up, which I have not yet responded, but I shall, and said, oh, that happened to me once, but I found that it was connected to my microphone cord. And then I remembered that my daughter had asked to borrow my dongle to print something out on one of our printers. And I wondered if perhaps she had borrowed it again and I should go look at the printer. And lo, there it was, connected to the printer cord. So Hannah, you saved this recording. Thank you. Now everybody go listen to Balls and Sticks. So, all right, Erica, why don't you bring us home with a hockey tidbit?
All right. My hockey tidbit is something that happened over the holidays, and it is just an illustration of how pervasive hockey is in Canada and how Canadian Canada is. So I was at Christmas dinner with my spouse Stephen's family, and it just, after dinner, you're sitting around eating pumpkin pie and drinking your coffee and
having your cup of coffee.
Having your cup of coffee, yep. Except this was a long time, not just a short time. We had several cups of coffee. And just random reminiscing, we started talking about hockey, as you do, because it's part of the culture. And Stephen's sister goes, oh yeah, do you remember that time when we were having, because they, his sister, his family does farming in addition to other jobs. Both she and her husband have other jobs, but they have a small farm. They grow canola like many other farmers in Alberta. And she was like, oh yeah, do you remember the time when Daryl Sutter came to drop off a combine? And I'm like, what now? What? So Daryl Sutter, for those who don't know, was until 2018 the coach of the Los Angeles Kings. Before that, he coached the Calgary Flames, and before that, coached several other teams. He's an NHL coach who had quite a bit of success, some Stanley Cups. Very, very well-known figure in hockey. And yeah, apparently this was, years ago when he was still coaching in Calgary. And he was there accompanying a friend of his, because Daryl Sutter also he retired to become a rancher. So he's always been a farmer during the off season. So yeah, it was summertime, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law had ordered a combine or something. I don't know how this farming works, but yeah, got dropped off, and my little nephew was quite young at that time, didn't have any idea who Daryl Sutter was, and made some made some comment about how the Flames suck. Like, somebody mentioned the Flames, and he was like, oh God, the Flames, they're so terrible, which at the time, I guess they were. I don't know. But yeah, Daryl Sutter, his response was just, oh, I'm well aware I'm in oil country. Or I'm in Oilers territory. My cousin was an adorable little child, or my nephew was an adorable little child at the time. So, nobody was yelling at him for it. But it's just a funny family story that, yep, Daryl Sutter. He
that
came to drop
time
off combine.
Your nephew dragged Daryl Sutter.
Yep. That's what happened. So that's my hockey tidbit.
That's a good one. That's very funny. So is he kind of like a legend? Is your nephew a legend in the family now for doing that?
Not really, because this was the first I'd heard of it, and I've been in the family for like 5 years now. So, and wow. He was kind of like, what, I did? Oh, sure.
That's embarrassing.
Yep, I didn't know. And apparently he was also, my little nephew at the time, he was little, had been like gardening in a bucket or something like that, like growing a plant, and showed it off to Daryl Sutter. His little bucket garden.
Aw, that's so cute.
Isn't it?
That is adorable. I love this hockey tidbit. I love talking hockey with you. I've missed it. Our holiday hiatus lasted a little bit longer. We anticipated for a variety of real life reasons, but I'm hoping that we will be back sooner rather than later. And we've talked
about
we have some special guests lined up later in the year. So very excited about that. Yeah, we should talk hockey like every day. Can we quit our jobs and just talk hockey every day?
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That'd be so good. That'd be really good.
Yeah, hearing these game day rituals from all these players, it's like just making me think, do you realize how lucky and privileged you are to be able to carve your life up into these like little segments and get your special apples and take your pants off and put your pants back on and all of these things? Like, I don't get a pantsless break in the middle of my day. I'm sorry.
No, you don't. But then just think about it. Their careers are short and brutal.
That's true. That is very true.
And they're often somewhat broken at the end of it, both mentally and physically. So
very true.
I still think we probably have the better deal.
Yeah. All in all.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like physically I'm kind of broken anyway at this point. So you know what?
You might as well have a couple million dollars for it, right?
Yep.
Well, on that note, get out your skates. I think it's not too late. You know, you could make it. Look at Scott Foster. He's a beer league goalie that made it big for the Chicago Blackhawks.
That's right.
He will forever be a note in hockey history. That could be you. You could parlay this into like crazy endorsement deals. So,
sure.
Anyway, it's been fun. We will have to get together again and do this soon because honestly, I could talk hockey forever with you. Mm-hmm. And listeners, you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at beginnerspuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.